Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is Sunday, October 21st. I'm recording this at night. You may be listening to it in the morning. If so, good morning. I'm going to be giving you guys the recap between the Dolphins and the Lions game. I'm also going to be talking a little bit about Albert Wilson's injury and the implications it could have on the entire season. And then, of course, Devontae Parker and his agent have made massive news that is all over the headlines. So, of course, I'm going to be talking about that a little bit too. But the first thing I'm going to be talking about is this Lions and Dolphins game. Now, the best way to sum it up, in this game, the Dolphins team had no fire. The Dolphins were defeated at home by the Detroit Lions in just this poor effort that keeps the team in that purgatory that I mentioned before, that is kind of not good enough to be a real true contender, but not bad enough to get that good draft pick, just kind of in the middle. Like, you can look at the team and you could say, okay, they're pretty good at times, but they're not good enough to win it all. But then again, they're not bad enough to be considered one of the worst teams. They're just kind of in that purgatory in the middle. Well, the game showed signs of going downhill on Detroit's very first drive. The Lions drove 64 yards on six plays in order to get the first touchdown. The drive began with this 24-yard run by Kerryon Johnson, and that would end up being the major theme for the duration of this game. Stafford found tight end Michael Roberts for his first touchdown. He would end up getting two in this game. In the second quarter, Johnson found another big hole, breaking a run down the middle, straight up the gut, quote-unquote, Ndamukong Suh, breaking a run 71 yards to start another scoring drive for the Lions. Fortunately for the Dolphins, that quote-unquote bend-but-don't-break mentality showed itself again. The Lions were held to a field goal and pushed the score to 0-10. The Lions were up. Now, Miami would connect with Kenny Stills on a 5-yard touchdown pass to bring the score to 7-10, but on that same drive, there were two very big negatives. The first one was that Stills collided with a security guard and he injured himself and her on the play. Stills was good enough to return and continued playing, luckily. The second one was very, very, very bad, and I said that Albert Wilson's injury could have season-long implications. Well, on this drive, Albert Wilson planted awkwardly. He fell to the ground. He was grimacing and he was holding the back of his leg. I could not tell if it was his knee area or I could not tell if he was grabbing his hamstring, but he was definitely grabbing his leg and he was grimacing. He was able to walk off on his own power, but he will require an MRI. And I know some people are going to say, well, he walked off on his own power, he must be good. But the truth is that that is not the fact. For major knee injuries, you are able to walk off on your own power. In fact, safety Keanu Neal was able to play a few snaps despite tearing his ACL. And it is quite a common thing that you can walk off on your own power. We know that with Tannehill as well, that you can still have a pretty devastating injury. Of course, we're all hoping for the best and, you know, hope there's nothing major, because Albert Wilson, a tremendous season thus far. So all we can do is hope that there's nothing major there. On the next following drive, LeGarrette Blount would find the end zone just before the half, and that pushed the Lions' lead to 7-17. The Lions were up. So after a Lions field goal to start the half, the Dolphins would find pay dirt again. This second score was courtesy of Kenyon Drake, who broke off a huge 54-yard touchdown run, which is his longest carry of the season. At this point, Miami was now down 14-20, but the Lions again scored with no issues, touchdown of their own, pushing the score to 14-26. The Lions were up. Now, after another Lions field goal by Matt Prater, the Dolphins were placed in a must-score situation. Well, Osweiler led this terrific drive, which was capped off with a marvelous 24-yard on-the-run dime of a throw to Danny Amendola for a touchdown. It was Amendola's first score of the season, and the game was capped off when Prater again connected on a 50-yard field goal that made it a two-score game. It was out of reach at that point. Now, let's take a deeper look into this game. The Lions offense dominated the Dolphins defense. That should be the main narrative. That is the main reason the Dolphins ended up losing this game. Now, Matt Stafford, who is known to throw the ball at will, was able to have a rare game where he only had 22 throws. In fact, that was the third fewest passing attempts he's had in a single game in his entire career. The third fewest. Now, Stafford finished the game 18 for 22, 217 yards and two touchdowns. Not a single Lions receiver had over 48 yards in this game. So it was not a pass heavy game in this one. But one reason why Stafford throughout his whole career has been so pass heavy is that his team has lacked a running back for years they never had that running game going for him. But in this game, that was not the case at all. Kerryon Johnson finished with 158 yards on the ground. LeGarrette Blount would add 50 yards of his own, and they combined for 208 yards of rushing against this Miami defense. Now, Miami was clearly not ready for Kerryon Johnson. He showcased his combination of shiftiness and power that made him look so hard to get down throughout the entire game. But there were some specific plays where Miami failed. The first one came where they failed to set the edge and Kerryon Johnson broke it big to the left. The other one, there was a gaping hole down the center. Kerryon Johnson would make him pay. He ended up taking that one for 70 yards. So there were some key plays. But tackling, that was a major issue for Miami, predominantly in the beginning of the season. But unfortunately, it showed its face again in this game. There were plenty of missed arm tackles, some that led to big gains for Johnson's, other ones that led for big gains for Golden Tate. I was really hoping that Miami addressed this issue and it was something that was going to be a thing of the past, but at least in this game, tackling was in fact a major issue. Now, the Dolphins offense, once again, led by quarterback Brock Osweiler. It is Brocktober, folks, and Osweiler again had another solid day. He's really benefiting off of this system the Gase has that consists of these check down routes and these short routes that really help boost a quarterback's stat line. And I am not suggesting that he's doing this to boost his stat line or using that to take away from him, because he is taking what the defense gives him. So in that sense, that I commend him. He is not letting the Detroit Lions defense beat him. He is trying to play mistake-free football. So I applaud you, Brock Osweiler, for another solid outing. Like I said, that throw he had to Amendola in the fourth quarter was really better than any throw I've seen Tannehill make so far this season. It was a beautiful dime of a pass. Osweiler will finish the game 22 for 31, 239 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Great game for Osweiler in this one. Albert Wilson appeared to be a major part of the game plan, but his exit early in this game led to a larger target share for Danny Amendola. Amendola would finish as the game's leading receiver. He had 6 catches, 84 yards, and that touchdown. Now, rookie tight end Mike Gesicki, he also had his best performance, picking up 44 yards on 3 catches. Tight end Nick O'Leary continues to have a large role in this offense. Give a lot of credit to him because he has this wonderful blocking ability that I think is going to keep him around on this team for some time. Now, the Dolphins ideally, I think, would have liked to get the running game going more in this game. Now, Drake had that big 54-yard score, but before that, the Dolphins running back core, consisting of Gore and Drake, were held to 24 yards and an average of 2.8 yards a carry. So, running the ball was definitely an issue in this game, despite what the stats will suggest, because Drake's big carry is going to inflate him a little bit, it's going to skew things. Running the ball was very much an issue for the majority of this game. Drake would finish with 6 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown. Of course, that sounds good. And then Gore would finish with 10 carries for 29 yards. So now it's time for my takeaways of this game. The first takeaway I have is that the Dolphins turnover rate regressed to the mean. And I said this in the preview that I wasn't a fan of the whole bend but don't break mentality. I knew at some point the turnover rate would have to return to normal. It just could not be maintained. And I think depending on getting red zone interceptions and fumbles, it's just not something you should strive for. It is a very risky way to play the game. My next takeaway is that the Dolphins linebackers are still a weak point in the defense. As Omar Kelly tweeted, more and more teams are going to use New England's game plan of attacking this Miami linebacking group. And I know Alonzo is playing great, but I won't say he's elite just yet. That's way too early. I know he still has flaws. He is still going to make mistakes. He is not the greatest in coverage just yet, but he is having a good season. Now, Raekwon McMillan and Jerome Baker, they've shown promise, but expecting them to be field generals in their first season is just an awful lot to ask for. Now, as they mature, of course, they will improve, but it only makes sense that right now there's some growing pains, and opposing offenses are going to take advantage of it like the Lions did today. Now, my next takeaway, if Albert Wilson is lost for the season, reaching the playoffs will be unlikely. And I say this because Albert Wilson has taken on the Landry role for Miami. He is the biggest weapon in this Gase offense. And Gase wants to run this dink and dunk offense that relies on these yards after the catches. That's fine, but you need a guy like Albert Wilson if you want to do that. And no one on this team could do that better than Albert Wilson. Amendola, he's a terrific possession receiver. He doesn't possess that ability to make players miss. And neither does Stills, really, and neither does Devontae Parker. Now, Miami could potentially get more creative with Grant and get him into this role, but I think Albert Wilson is a hard guy to replace. And I'm just saying that with all respect to Albert Wilson, nothing as a knock on Jakeem Grant or any of the other receivers. I'm just saying, in terms of yards after the catch, in terms of making guys miss, that's Albert Wilson's thing. Now, for my last takeaway, this one is quite a big one, but I think it is fair to say, is that Tannehill is not a franchise quarterback. And I know, wow, after all these years, I feel like the environment is finally safe enough to say this. And I'm not saying that I've always felt like this, but this is just the conclusion I have reached lately, and I feel like it is justified and a good argument to make. Now, we did not lose this game because of Osweiler. I think Osweiler did fine in this game. And I know some of you will say, well, that's the same thing that happens to Tannehill. He does fine and we lose and it's not his fault. And yes, it's true, but Osweiler is our second string quarterback. He's a player who was cut from the Browns before ever taking a snap. And if Tannehill was indeed our franchise quarterback, quote unquote, then switching to Brock Osweiler would have shown a significant drop off. If you have a franchise quarterback and he goes down, you would be able to notice some type of change with your backup quarterback. You would not feel as confident. Your offense likely would not be running as well if your franchise quarterback goes down. But the fact of the matter is, I haven't seen that much of a drop-off, and in fact, the team actually looks a little bit better. So even if Tannehill returns to the starting role this season, I don't think he's going to be the quarterback to get this team to the promised land. And I think the organization has already reached this same conclusion, because like I said about Gase's offense, a lot of it's these short routes, a lot of it's these dink and dumps, receiver screens, and then the occasional deep shot. But Osweiler looks a little bit more creative, and honestly, I think any quarterback in the league could throw a screen route or could throw a short slant. That's not a big deal. And I can't say right now that Tannehill's a franchise quarterback because he doesn't bring anything else to the table. You may look at a nice 5-yard slant he threw, but Osweiler could throw a 5-yard slant. The difference I see is between the deep ball. Tannehill still definitely does have a better deep ball than Osweiler has, but it is not as big of a difference. It does not warrant me saying that he's a franchise quarterback, because they are honestly, in 2018, not looking all that different performance-wise. So I can't say that he's a franchise quarterback when he's played the way he has, and he has done it for this many years. So that's how I'm going to end the recap part of the episode. Let me know what you guys think about that. Let me know if you think that Tannehill indeed still could be our franchise quarterback. Maybe I'm being too hard on him. Let me know if you think our season doesn't end with an Albert Wilson injury. And let me know what you guys think about our run defense. Are we going to be able to fix it? Is this something that we kind of have to plan for the future in terms of? Or do you think the linebackers will get it going? Let me know what you guys think about that. Now, the next topic I'm going to be discussing is Devontae Parker and his agent. This is very interesting. This was very out of the blue to me. Now, as we all know with Devontae Parker, he has had injury issues that have kept him sidelined for most of this season. He was practicing this week. All signs were pointing to him playing, but then Gase deemed him not healthy enough to play in this game. He was sat out. This was a game where Kenny Stills went out with an injury. Albert Wilson, of course, went out with the injury, and we were in dire need of having another receiver. So Devontae Parker would have been great in this situation, but then again, hindsight is 20/20. So after the game, Devontae Parker's agent came out and said that he was infuriated because it was unfair of Gase to sit his healthy client, who is Devontae Parker, in a game where they would have needed him and he could have been a valuable asset to helping this team win. He called Gase incompetent for this reason, and he said that he was portraying Devontae Parker in a negative light because he was good to go and he was making him seem like he's injured. Now, the way I took it when I saw Devontae Parker was not going to be playing, because there were rumors circulating before this game that Devontae Parker would be getting traded sooner, that it was a possibility, and that they were looking at shopping him. That is how I took it, that that Coach Gase must be benching Devontae Parker because there is some type of trade planned, some type of looming deal on the horizon where he is going to get traded. That's how I saw this situation. I just thought that Devontae Parker was gone, and that must have been what it meant when he got benched. But then after the game, you had Devontae Parker's agent coming out and saying this, and I don't think that he comes out and says all this unless he sees the results of this game, in the sense that the receiver is getting hurt. Because I think once he saw the receivers getting hurt, he knows how much Devontae Parker's value then goes up. He knows he has an upper hand. He knows he has that leverage at that point. Because if his agent doesn't says anything, one would think that Devontae Parker's role moving forward would be increased. It would be significantly bigger, especially with these injuries. But then his agent comes out and calls Gase incompetent. To me, that is begging for Gase to trade him. I have seen Gase trade players for doing less, for saying less. He called Gase incompetent. That is saying, trade my client right now. I know he didn't say that directly, but that is what I am getting by taking direct shots at Adam Gase like that. And that is putting Gase in a difficult situation, because now you only have a few healthy receivers. Isaiah Ford is going to be likely called up from the practice squad, in my opinion, because honestly, I think I don't see how Devontae Parker stays on this team with the comment from his agent. I know it could be a ploy to get him out of there, because that's what I think. That it's just all a tactic used to get him out of there, but I don't think it's going to fly with Gase. I think it would surprise me if Parker is still on the Dolphins roster in the next 2 days. I think he's going to be gone soon. It's going to put Miami in a difficult situation. Look for guys like Isaiah Ford to be called up, potentially Leonte Carew. One interesting guy that I think Miami should take a look at who's a free agent is this guy Brandon Coleman, former New Orleans Saint, big body receiver, 6'6", make some tremendous jump ball catches, doesn't have the greatest hands, but when he goes up there, he can come down with some nice ones occasionally. I think he is very similar to Devontae Parker in that aspect, and if Miami needs a big receiver, then why not take a shot? And I know the instinct is going to be, go get Dez, and that's funny, but I just don't think any team's going to go get Dez. That would be an interesting move, but after what I saw from Dez last season, he is washed and he drops an awful lot of passes, but you never know. So that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Let me know what you guys think. As always, you can follow me at Shady Steven, at Via The Source on Twitter. Subscribe, please. Leave some comments. Rate it on iTunes if you have time. That would mean a lot. Until next time, guys, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.